You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the Deep Dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a Deep Dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is actually going to be a little different than how I've done the other deep dives. And I actually did this this deep dive as a video a couple of weeks ago. And I basically converted the video to audio and put it out as a podcast. But I wanted to re-record it here because I thought that, you know, this is just such a huge, huge issue. Now, most of the time when I'm doing a deep dive, you know, I'm laying out the facts. I'm putting a little bit of my opinion on this. I think it's one way or the other, but ultimately I want you guys to decide for yourself. And like all of these, I want you to decide for yourself here, but I have a very sharp premise here. And that premise is we need to put Mark Zuckerberg on trial, and then we need, if convicted, to put him into jail. Because basically there's been so much. The straw has literally broken the camel's back here. And it is absolutely unconscionable, like half of the stuff that is here. Now, when we're looking at news, one of the problems that we have is that we get siloed into the news of the day and then move on. And so we have, let's say, a data breach, you know, from 5-6 years ago for Facebook, you know, or a privacy violation. And we're like, ooh, Facebook, how could you? And then we move on. And then, you know, 6 months later, we have another one and on and on and on and on. And then in 2018, we had a big thing with them. But when you look at it in the totality of this, from the very beginning of Facebook all the way literally to the present day, and then you combine it with the words and actions of this company, and believe me, we're going to be going through all of this, what you build is a prima facie case for basically why Facebook has consistently lied to us, and they've done it over and over and over, stating one thing but actually doing the other. And so we are going to go all the way back. I have over 2,500 words of notes here on this. And so this is probably going to be the longest deep dive I've ever done, but I think it's important because we're going to lay this whole case out, and we're going to go all the way back to when Mark Zuckerberg was 19 and Facebook was a concept. Now, Facebook has shown time and again that it's willing to find virtually any way it can to use your data and even your likeness to try and make money. I don't begrudge any innovative company from trying to find new ways to generate wealth. I am a capitalist at heart, but it also has a responsibility to safeguard its users, not to mention be honest with them. And so just by virtue of my job, I hold a lot of sensitive information on people. And I'm not talking about my radio job, my actual job in cybersecurity and technology. And I have to hold that sacred. What I do with that information, I need to be transparent and ethical with to my clients. If I have to give it to somebody, I want to let them know that. They trust me with this information in the same way we should be able to trust a platform when we are giving it very sensitive information. But Facebook has not only failed miserably in this vein, but they've also actively worked to keep secret the plethora of ways they were abusing users' privacy while publicly telling the world that they quote-unquote cared about said privacy and security. And so let's dive right in here because there is just so much here to unpack. I'm also going to be giving you the news sources that I'm using for a lot of these articles and a lot of these points. So, you know, I'm just not sitting here, you know, pulling this stuff out of my butt. I mean, this is actual reported news from tier one news sources. And we're going to start in September 2006. This comes from NBC News. Now, in 2006 in September, Facebook debuted the news feed feature. Now, at this time, this was a brand new concept, and Facebook had 8 million users at this point, many of whom were actually not happy that their posts were now being sent to all of their friends. Now, we're used to that. If you post on Facebook right now, whoever's friend, whether you have 100, 1,000, a million friends, they're all going to see this, or at least a good chunk of it. This was brand new for 2006, and 1 million out of those 8 million users, so roughly 1/8 of the entire Facebook population, joined protest groups over this move, arguing that this feature was too intrusive. So Facebook decided to actually weather the storm and not kill this feature, and now we have the newsfeed. This is where we're starting. So December of 2007, NBC News reporting, Facebook then debuted Beacon. Now, this allowed companies to track purchases by Facebook users and then notify their friends of what had been bought without users' consent. Now, Zuckerberg apologized for this on December 6, 2007, stating that users now had the opt-out option, but they didn't actually kill Beacon itself. Now, Facebook began selling ads that display people's profiles photos next to commercial messages that are shown to their friends. So basically, let's go back in the day. If you, let's say, rented a movie or bought a movie from Blockbuster, Blockbuster was paying Facebook to basically tell all of your friends with your picture slapped next to a Blockbuster logo that said, oh, Nick just rented, you know, blah, 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 and so you should rent from Blockbuster too. This is how Facebook was generating revenue, and they did not get consent. And then you had to go in and opt out as opposed to them just automatically doing that. So if you were not aware that this was happening or you didn't necessarily, understand this process, you wouldn't know to opt out from this. And now, during this exact same time period, late 2007, according to the New York Times, Facebook was being investigated by the Federal Trade Commission. Why, you ask? The FTC expressed concern that advertisers may have access to too much information about people's online activities. Facebook says it was only using information that its members chose to share, and while the site was using the information on behalf of advertisers, Facebook was not giving it to marketers. We now know this was a complete and utter lie. We have had multiple scandals over the years that have proven this wrong, and we are going to go through every single one of them, primarily Cambridge Analytica, which was the bomb dropping in 2018, and we will get there. Now, let's fast forward to November of 2011, according to NBC News. Facebook finally settled with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. Facebook agreed to undergo an independent privacy evaluation every other year for 20 years. Now, on top of this, regulators said that Facebook falsely claimed that third-party apps were able to access only the data needed to operate, when in fact the apps could access nearly all of the user's personal data. In other words, Facebook lied. And then they settled about it and they agreed to pay a fine and also go through this auditing. And my question to the Federal Trade Commission is, what happened to that independent privacy evaluation? We have had scandal after scandal, privacy breach after privacy breach, as I'm about to lay out. And if they were actually going through a thorough independent privacy evaluation every other year by an independent auditor, we would not be in the mess we are with this company today. That is ridiculous. And moving on, because we are nowhere near done, July of 2013, Washington Post reporting, Facebook tried to use a quote-unquote mood manipulation experiment on 500,000 Facebook users. Now, Facebook altered their newsfeed to show either more positive or negative posts. The purpose of this was to study how emotions could spread on social media. There was no opt-in or opt-out feature. They simply did it to you. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you are clinically depressed. Imagine if you are suicidal and Facebook just turns your feed negative. It's nothing but bad news. The world sucks. Everything is awful. And you had no way of knowing that they were doing this to you. That is unconscionable to me. You didn't have the ability to opt in or out of a study. They just did it to you. I would be curious to know basically what that did in terms of depression, what that did in terms of suicide rates. That is absolutely ridiculous. They literally have no regard for the feelings of others when they are making these decisions. They don't care about you. And some of the quotes that I will give you later on from Zuckerberg prove exactly that. Moving on, 2014, also Washington Post, Facebook promised it would limit access to developers in terms of data mining users and violating their privacy. These are the developers that are getting the data from Facebook so that they can do advertising and develop more products. We know that is a complete and absolute lie in 2014 because in 2015, current and former Facebook employees spoke to the Wall Street Journal and said that Facebook couldn't actually keep track of how many developers We're using previously downloaded data. And beyond this, thanks to Cambridge Analytica that broke last year, we know that the practice continued well beyond what Facebook had stated. So when we were looking at the campaigns in 2015, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, Republican from Texas, was using this data for psychographic profiles on users. And Steve Bannon, who was running the Trump campaign, also used this information via Cambridge Analytica to basically data mine potential voters in this era, 2015. Moving forward, and we're not even to Cambridge Analytica, let's look at February of 2018. A Belgium court ordered Facebook to stop tracking people across the entire internet. Not just Facebook, the entire internet. This stems from the integration of Facebook technology and cookies into third-party sites. So let's say you go to a site to, let's say, shop for a car. Facebook knows that you're there due to the technology sharing, and then they will tailor advertising to your car purposes. So let's say you go to cars.com and you look for, I don't know, a Ford car, you know, Ford, take your pick. When you go to Facebook, you'll start seeing advertisements for cars.com or Fords on Fords.com. You know, I've literally done this when I was shopping for a new car. I started looking at all these various models and all that kind of stuff online. And now suddenly that advertisement's getting popped up. A Belgium court ordered them to stop tracking people like this, because when you're going to cars.com, you're not going to Facebook, but now Facebook knows what you're doing. So even if you don't have a Facebook account, these sites are actually still sending tracking information about you to Facebook. The court ordered the deletion of all of this illegally collected data, at least in Belgium, by Facebook. This rule applied obviously to Belgians only, because, you know, this is the country that we're talking about. And here's Facebook's response. Not, oh, we're gonna stop doing this, or oh yes, we need to take your privacy seriously. They said they would appeal the rule because it's money to them. So moving on, March of 2018, this is when the bomb drops, and there's a billion different sources out there, so I'm not going to cite any one, but you can literally read about it everywhere. Facebook knew about the massive data theft that was Cambridge Analytica, and it literally did nothing. Mark Zuckerberg's response, only when they were caught, only when this all came to light, that not just that this happened, but that they knew about it and literally did nothing to prevent it, was to apologize and quote-unquote promise changes. April 2018, it got worse for Cambridge Analytica when that number was upped from 50 million to 87 million, and it's probably significantly more. Many breach disclosures per compliance law are historically have been very low when the organizations basically say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to, we don't want to disclose the full number because that might put us out of business, that might look bad. And so they just slowly up that number over time. So they waited a month and then leveled another 37 million hit on us. May of 2018, you know, and again, this was from the Independent in the UK, as well as the Wall Street Journal, a whistleblower came forward to say that Cambridge Analytica had used this data to run voter suppression campaigns. Facebook did nothing to curb this while these campaigns were going on. So above and beyond getting psychographic profiles, they were actually running voter suppression campaigns, or allowing others to run that using the Facebook ecosystem. June of 2018, Facebook offered the world a free VPN. That's a virtual private network. You'd install it into your phone or your laptop. And basically what it does is it encrypts the data as it leaves, let's say, your phone to the internet. So Facebook offered this for free for security and privacy called Onavo, but literally it did anything but that. Facebook admitted to Congress in a hearing that they were using Onavo, the VPN, to secretly track where their users were going and where they did outside of Facebook's ecosystem. So if you are using Onavo on your phone and you open up another app that is not Facebook, or you go to a website that is not Facebook, Facebook now knew everything that you were doing. So basically, while Zuckerberg was apologizing for violating the privacy of pretty much everyone and lying about taking their privacy seriously, they were actually releasing apps that turned the data mining and tracking up to 11. That is ridiculous. It got so bad with this that Apple actually pulled Onavo from the App Store because it was violating users' data privacy so dramatically. That's insane, and we are nowhere near done. June of 18, according to Politico, we learned that Facebook shared personal user data with multiple device makers, including device makers based in China with ties to the Chinese government. Now, because of this, Congressman David Cicilline, a Democrat from Rhode Island, said, and I quote, "Sure looks like Zuckerberg lied to Congress about whether users have complete control over who sees our data on Facebook, and this needs to be investigated, and the people responsible need to be held accountable," end quote. That person is Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm going to be getting to quotes that literally show you that he has basically been lying for most of this time. And Congressman Cicilline, if you are listening, please hold them accountable. I am more than happy to give you all of my notes, links, sources, and everything. Moving on, July 2018, The New Republic publishes an article called, and I quote, "Facebook is still abusing your privacy." Now, this article dives into the fact that beyond all the privacy violations I have literally mentioned thus far, Facebook had found another way to make money by violating users' privacy: facial recognition. The New York Times reported that, quote, "more than a dozen privacy and consumer groups and at least a few officials argue that the company's use of facial recognition has violated people's privacies by not obtaining the appropriate user consent." Now, what they're talking about is Facebook is running the largest facial recognition database in the world, or one of the largest, if it is not the largest. It is up there. And you didn't have a choice when this started. If you posted a picture of yourself, oh, this is me and my family on vacation, all of you, your kids, you, your wife, your husband, you, whoever, got basically put into their facial recognition database. You did not opt into this. They just did it for you. And eventually, when caught, they had to backtrack. And then they integrated facial recognition technology into their home device. So their competitor to the Amazon Echo or the Google Home is the Facebook portal. And they literally paired that with facial recognition technology and a camera in that so that it basically could scan your face, see what you were doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's absolutely nuts. And we are still in July of 2018. Because also in July of 2018, we learned that Facebook was under investigation from four different federal agencies, including the FTC, the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Department of Justice, or DOJ. So the U.S. government is now finally taking an active role, and we learned this in July of 2018. In December of 2018, and again, nowhere near done, we learned that other major tech companies had such deep access to Facebook that they could read your private messages. Wall Street Journal. We are talking about companies like Netflix, Spotify, Amazon, and others that basically were paying for the privilege to get in so deeply into your Facebook account that they could actually read private messages in Facebook Messenger that you were sending to your friends or whoever. That is absolutely insane. January of 2019, we learned that Facebook had a research app users could download and would pay them to allow Facebook to deeply data mine their phones for all aspects of what they were doing. Now, I have no issues with a research app that, let's say, an adult willingly says, okay, I'm for $25 to $30 a month, which was the going rate, I will install this app into my phone and I will let Facebook data mine me to the nth degree. You're an adult, do whatever you want. I have no issues with this. The problem is Facebook was entering into contractual monetary agreements with minors ages 13 to 17, because 18, obviously, you can consent, and they didn't need parents' permission. So if you've got a 13-year-old in your house that has access to a phone, they could have downloaded this, and for $25, $30 a month, they could have literally given absolutely everything they were doing to Facebook, and at 13, probably not realizing this meant data mining, text messages, apps, games, absolutely everything. As a parent, that is unconscionable to me. I would not want my children, you know, if they were that age, to basically sign up for something without my consent. That is crazy. And Facebook was doing it, and we are not anywhere near done. February 2019, according to CNBC. We learned that if Facebook considers you a threat, and I'm wondering if I'm making that list with the video I just did and you listening to me here, which, you know, is obviously going to be public very soon, you know, in terms of beyond the radio on SoundCloud, and which will be shared into all my social media and all of that. If they consider you a threat, they can and will turn on tracking in your Facebook app and your phone to keep tabs on where you are. You have no notification of this And the rules for getting on this list are arbitrary, although some reasons like threatening violence against Facebook are obviously, you know, obvious. And so basically, let's say I came out and said, I want to like drive to Facebook's headquarters and shoot everybody or something like that. That would obviously send a massive alert to Facebook, but they would take it one step further without getting any kind of consent, any kind of warrant, any kind of anything, and just basically turn on the tracking. And so they could see where I am whenever they wanted to in terms of their own private safety. That is a very serious, I think, Fourth Amendment violation. And while some people are clearly deranged and would drive, you know, to Facebook with a gun, maybe the person's joking. Who knows? Maybe I am now making this list and they're just going to fire it up and figure out where I am at all times because they consider me a threat for going after them in this way, as I'm laying this all out. I don't know. There's no actual rules, and I kind of feel like they need a lawsuit just on that. Moving on, March 21st of this year, Facebook stored passwords for hundreds of millions and tens of thousands of Instagram users in plain text and had been doing it for years. So much for privacy. And we are going to get back to this one, but if you're not familiar with plain text, here's how this works. If I punch in a password to a website, I expect them to do what is called hash the password. So in other words, if my password is password, and it wouldn't be, but if it was, you don't actually see the word password. If you're looking through the database on the back end as an administrator, you see a long string of text that basically scrambles the password to ensure that it is private from anybody, let's say in Facebook, from viewing it. They were storing it in plain text, meaning if my password was password, they could read it. And over 20,000 Facebook employees had access to this. Now, think about this. If you're using your email address and password that you're using for Facebook at your bank or other locations or other websites, 20,000 Facebook employees would have seen that. They can see that username and password. That is insane. That is zero, literally zero security and privacy control whatsoever. And that is completely unconscionable to me. And we are nowhere near done once again. April 3rd of this year, Facebook came out with an account verification system that was asking for your email password, not your Facebook password, your email password, which could potentially give Facebook access to your email account. And that is exactly what happened. And so basically we are going to be talking about that in a little bit, but people were giving them email access. So in other words, if you had a Gmail account or a Yahoo account, you were turning over that password to Facebook if they prompted you for that to verify your account, which gave them access to your Gmail or Yahoo account. That's insane. That is absolutely nuts. And we'll get back to that. April 3rd as well, and this is literally another story, UpGuard, that is a cybersecurity research firm, they found hundreds of millions of users' personal information being stored on Amazon Web servers by third parties. In one case, they could easily access personal information in a single database of over 500 million Facebook users. And here's why. Facebook never bothered to control their third parties. If you remember the quote from years ago earlier in this deep dive, where basically whistleblowers came out and talked to the Wall Street Journal saying, well, we don't know, like Facebook can't track how many third parties they have in here because it's just so huge. What happens is these third parties are literally just taking your personal data, taking your passwords, taking your information and storing it in their own databases. And a lot of them are using Amazon Web Services as databases to store this. And then they're exposing it because they don't have good security. And hundreds of millions of us have now been exposed by third-party developers that Facebook let remove the data. That is absolutely unreal. And we'll keep on rolling. April 17th, NBC News, they drop a bombshell that thousands of internal documents, memos, etc., show that Facebook was using users' private data as leverage against its competitors. In other words, it would give deep access to friends and companies that paid top dollar like Amazon, or cut off access to private to competition like other messaging apps. This is actually what prompted me to do this, in the sense that while they claim user privacy, they're sitting here just taking it and using it as a bargaining chip for their allies and a bargaining chip against their competitors. That's nuts. April 19th. Now, do you remember that I said back in March 21st, they were being stored in plain text? They had hundreds of millions of Facebook users and tens of thousands of Instagram users. It was actually tens of millions of Instagram users. And instead of alerting the world to this, they went retroactively back to that March 21st blog post and just changed the wording from thousands to millions on Instagram, hoping nobody would notice. Well, we did. And so they tried to downplay that because Instagram is their hot is their hot app right now because Facebook has been losing members. So that is literally nuts. They actually were caught by Forbes doing this and called to task on that. But they literally are trying to lie their pants through this. And finally, we learned that the account verification system I mentioned earlier that wanted your email password actually did to get into your email. Users were reporting that they were seeing Facebook import their entire address book without any prompts, consents, or opts-in. So seriously, these people just cannot stop data mining even when there's a massive spotlight on them for literally this. Now, all of the above is absolutely horrible, but what makes this criminal in terms of the law is that Zuckerberg had repeatedly lied about this, and we are going to go all the way back to the beginning. In 2004, in the early days of Facebook, basically there's a leaked instant message transcript that Zuckerberg later acknowledges was his, with 19-year-old Zuckerberg saying, and I quote, "Yeah, if so you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, SNS. Now, his friend responded, name redacted, "What? How did you manage that?" Zuckerberg said, "People just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me, dumb Fs. And I will let you figure out what Fs means." So we say stupid things at 19, but I think this speaks to his mentality right from the start of Facebook. And like I said, Zuckerberg eventually admitted that he did say this. March 10th, 2008, in an interview, and I quote Zuckerberg again, "Privacy, that's the vector around which Facebook operates. We know that is a lie because of everything I just told you." April 2010, Nick Bilton of New York Times' Bits blog had an off-the-record conversation with a Facebook employee that was later published by another source. Bilton asked the employee, and I quote, "How does Zuck feel about privacy?" To which the employee responded with laughter and said, and I quote, "He doesn't believe in it." That could be a witness that's subpoenaed. 2010, NPR interview. There's, and I quote, "Zuckerberg, there's this false rumor that's been going around, which that we're sharing private information with applications, and it's just not true." That is obviously false over and over and over. We just proved it through excellent reporting. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.